Hello, everyone. This is Chase with the U.S. Basketball Podcast. We're broadcasting today on Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. Jason is here with me, and we have a special guest returning to the podcast, Coach Todd Lee for the men's team, as we are on the eve of the start of the new college basketball season with some exhibition games now behind us. So, Coach, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So Coach, I want to break up I'm gonna ask you kind of the same question but in different time frames. They're basically just going to be kind of like the impressions you got at different points in time. We discussed when you were here last time, we discussed kind of how the summer practices went and your impressions there. Then you take a little break and you start up again in the fall with kind of everyone's now enrolled in school full not well with the regular schedule, and you start practices again. Before you hit that first exhibition against Loyola Marymount a week and a half ago now, what were you thinking? What were your impressions? Anything that had changed from what you saw during the summertime? Anything new? Anything that stayed the same? Just your general thoughts on how the team was looking.
Well, there are a few things that surprised me a little bit. We have we always test for the mile for our guys. Coach Muss really likes to do that more as a toughness, mentally, how tough are you if you can finish the mile? And our guards have to run the mile in 5 minutes and 30 seconds, our wings 5:45, and then our post players 6 minutes. And if they don't, then they have to repeat it. I was, pleasantly surprised. We normally have a number of guys that don't make it, but pretty much the whole team made it, except for the exception of one or two guys that were coming off an injury and really weren't in great shape. And they've since done that. But Gabe Dines ran the mile in 5 minutes and 40 seconds,
Wow.
which is incredible for a 7 foot four and a half player. That was impressive. I think the defensively, our athleticism, I saw it some in the summer, but I've seen it more now with Ezra and Amarion and Jacob Coffey and Gabe Dines. Those guys are really, really athletic. And that's why we've been really good defensively in the first two exhibition games. So to be around them more, and what's great is Ezra, Amarion, Jacob, and Gabe all care very much about defending, which is great. That's half the battle. So those guys have really been good defensively, and they're so athletic and strong. We're much bigger, faster, stronger than we were last year, and taller. So, yeah.
I've kind of really be the big story of these two games, and we'll get into them in a second, has been Gabe Dines. Before he took the court against LMU, did you get the sense that, hey, this guy might be, he might be ready to, make a move that we weren't even anticipating that he might make, might take longer for him to make? Were you already getting that sense, or were when what you saw against LMU, was that kind of like, oh wow, this is a surprise? What were your thoughts as the game was unfolding, and he was kind of just really dominating that game in many ways?
Yeah, it's interesting. We do stat, our every time we scrimmage, we do our live stats, and we don't, as Coach Mussey doesn't, we don't scrimmage a lot, but we do throughout the summer. And the stats that he is doing right now, he's, shooting 71%. He's leading the team in, rebounds and hold on for a sec. Sorry, guys. He and obviously blocks. And funny because in that Loyola Marymount game, they have him for six blocks, but he actually had eight.
Yeah.
And so we saw that. And what's great is, I think was really good, is that his confidence through the game at Loyola just kept building and building. And then going into GCU, the same thing. And I mean, you could argue that he could be our MVP right now, the way he's playing and defending and blocking shots and rebounding. So he's done a great job. I think his confidence continues to grow, and he's a lot physically tougher. Most of the time, you think, well, he's 7'4". He has put on about 17 pounds, 20 pounds since he got here. And he's physically tough, and that mile test really showed that, because that is a mental practice for sure.
So, we start this game against LMU, and I think LMU did not hit a shot until Jalen Shelley hit that tip dunk after about the 10 minute mark of the first half. So I mean, you went, in a basically entire 10 minute period where I think LMU hit a couple free throws, but no actual field goals. It was a little bit kind of jolting to watch from my perspective. I mean, the defense was just so suffocating. Now, and at first I was like, oh my gosh, this LMU team must be, nothing. They must be, because I really hadn't looked into them. They must not be able to play at all. Once they got their sea legs, you could see that they had some basketball players. But that first 10-minute period, I mean, it seemed like a real shock to the system to LMU. And I think Grand Canyon kind of went through the first thing to start out that game as well. I mean, did you get the sense that like teams are just not quite ready for the type of defense you guys played initially?
Yeah, I think it's hard, early in the season, if you haven't seen our guys, live or, watched a lot of tape on them. As we talked about, Omarion and Ezra are two of the quickest, toughest, kids that I've coached. And obviously the length of Gabe and then Jacob Coffey, but yeah, Loyola Marymount goes 3 of 29 in the first half, which is, almost unheard of. And our guys, and I, Coach Muss has done a great job. I think this is really much more of a Coach Muss team, because he really hangs his hat on defense toughness, and having guys that compete at that end of the floor. And I feel like we've got a lot of guys that really do that. And it's one thing to have that, but also then you combine it with the athleticism, and the toughness that those guys bring. So, but you're right. I mean, we're going through that game. Now, the only thing I'll say is when you're holding a team to, 3 of 29, you'd like to be up more than 16 points at half. But you're going through the second half, and they cut into it, and it got a little closer. It was really a perfect recipe for an exhibition game. Coach Muss, he wanted to schedule two road games, so our guys got some mental toughness and adversity. And Loyola had a pretty good crowd. Obviously, I coached at Grand Canyon for 5 years and took them from 2013 to 18 with Coach Marley, and I knew what was, we knew the crowd was going to be a sellout. But Coach wanted to play those two games. The Loyola game was great because we get up 18, and you're thinking the game's going to be over, but then they cut it back down to 9. That's what it ended up, and that's perfect for. And I told Coach that's perfect for an exhibition game because we got up 18, we got a bunch of stuff that we can work on. And they cut it to 9, so we're not going to be too big in the head. It was really a perfect scenario for that. And then to go into Grand Canyon, play in front of that crowd, which Coach wanted us to play in front of because we play in those type of environments in the Big Ten. That was great for our guys. And you're right, they came out in the first half and couldn't score, and then they couldn't score at the start of the second half. And so, obviously, we're missing Rodney Rice right now, which is going to be one of our better offensive players. I think he's really going to help, at that end of the floor and running the team and scoring, and we can run stuff for him. But our defense for those first two games, to start the game was very suffocating.
Yeah, so and you kind of anticipated the next question I was going to ask, which is about the offense, which is, I think looks like a work of progress a bit, and you didn't have him anyway, so you're it's kind of things are going to change quite a bit. it did seem like the from a, the standpoint of from the very beginning of the LMU game to the end of the GCU game, I could kind of start to see a little bit more of an identity developing with the offense. Obviously, you know, the score we score more points against GCU. They're probably, you know, it's probably a tougher play, you know, place to score points. So that shows some marginal improvement. But I think it did seem to me like start of the LMU game, you know, the offense was really heavily reliant just on the defense kind of initiating opportunities for the offense. But as you get more toward the end of the GCU game, a full like 2 games into it, the offense starts to have more of an identity, starts to be able to get some guys open a little bit for some, you know, from higher quality shot standpoint. So is that kind of like you're just trying to figure out the roles that everyone's going to have and how to get guys balls to get them the ball in a position to score? Is that kind of the focus now on offense?
Yeah, I think we've got a lot of new players and coaches trying to figure out, you know, what guys can do, where they can be successful, where we need to get them the ball. So he had us go through, it's interesting in this portal area, you know, I don't know if I talked about it last time, but like Coach had us go through how did Ezra score last year at Utah? What sets did they run for him? Where'd they get him the ball? And of course, we've watched that, but he really wanted that broken down for everybody in our group. And I do the BOB or help with the BOB. So I went through and looked at what Maryland ran for Rodney and what Auburn ran for Chad Baker. And it's kind of interesting. I've never done that before or never even thought about it because, but now when you get transfers, you have to figure out, you know, how they where they feel comfortable. But no, coaches, you know, figuring out the offense, who can score in which positions, who's better in ball screens. I mean, Chad's not necessarily a point guard, but he is good in ball screens. And you saw GCU, I mean, coach put him into a ton of ball screens. He's a good passer, had some really good assists. So we are trying to figure that out. I think at this time of the year, the defense is always ahead of the offense. The defense is about effort. Coach has a system defensively. I think one thing that we have done, which has been great, coach has mixed up our coverages and ball screens a lot. We go out and sometimes we'll trap the ball screen. Sometimes we'll switch. Sometimes we'll, you know, side it. We do different things. And I just like anybody else, if you give somebody a steady dose, a good coach is going to cut you apart. So we've done a really good job of switching up our coverages out of timeouts, what we're doing, just to give them a different look. The trapping the ball screen with Ezra and Amarion and those guys, because they're so athletic, and Jacob has really been good for us. And I think we're a completely different team from last year. We talked about it in a film session. I mean, they're loose balls. We're getting about 65% of the 50-50 balls. Coach would probably like it higher, but you know, last year that's not the number we had. We talked about the loose balls. We never would have got that ball last year, or the block shots, or the rim protection. And so, you said it, that our defense can turn into offense for us much more than last year. And I think we'll figure out the offense. Coach will figure out the offense. It just takes some time. We got new guys, and we've just played the two exhibition games, and we're missing Rodney. And I know coach will tell you the same thing. When you have a really good offensive player, they make you a pretty smart offensive coach. And we're missing maybe one of our best or the best offensive player we have.
Hey, Coach, just to follow up on the kind of lineup and chemistry questions, like with the depth that's now presented itself with the emergence of Gabe, plus some of your injuries, obviously, in the backcourt, I know Mus has talked a bit recently about maybe kind of by necessity, you know, sizing up the lineup to be a little more traditional as opposed to like a small ball type lineup. So, you know, some of your fives shifting to fours, fours to threes, threes to twos. Can you talk about that specifically a little bit? Like, how will that help you, but what challenges does that pose?
Well, the bigger you get, you know, you should be really good. And we talked about Ezra and Amarion, and Jacob really being able to move their feet, and they're big. And so you should be better on the boards. You should be better on the offensive boards. Then as you get bigger, ball handling becomes, an issue, or taking care of the ball, maybe shooting the ball. And we haven't shot the ball well from three in the two exhibition games. We'll be bigger. I think we'll gain a lot of possessions on the offensive boards with our group, and as they go bigger, you're going to gain more. Defensively, the physicality of that group, the bigger group, can be overwhelming at times. I really believe we'll be one of the more athletic teams with that group in the Big Ten. Then it becomes a skill. Are you skilled enough? Can you take care of the ball? How are you shooting the ball? That changes when you go a little bit bigger.
With respect to that 3-point shooting in the exhibitions, like are you guys satisfied with the looks that you were getting? Is it just not shots not falling, or was that a shot selection issue, or a little bit of both? What were your thoughts there?
I think we had a lot of open looks. T Will, we believe, he's going to make shots. He went almost 9 months without playing basketball, and it took him a while to even get into game type of shape. So he's had good looks. He hasn't made them. Jordan Marsh, shot it well during the summer and even into the fall. He's had good looks, haven't made them. Jaden Brunell can really shoot the ball. He comes in. I think coach really wants him to. You come in the game, you're open, shoot it. We believe he's got a high release. He gets it off quick. He's been the one guy. He's 4 for 6 from three in the two exhibition games. And we felt the other night against GCU, those threes he hit were huge, because they were making a little run. They knocked down a three. We come down, hit a three. Those threes by Jaden going 3 for 4 was big. Chad's gonna, coach will give a player a lot of freedom offensively, which Chad loves. I'm not sure he's had open looks, but he's gonna get them off, and he hasn't. He's 2 for 13. But as long as you play defense and you play hard, coach is gonna play you. He's not a coach that restricts your shot selection wise. But in looking at the film, we've had good looks for the most part. And I think our guys, they'll improve. And then obviously Rodney will also space the floor and be a really probably one of our best 3-point shooters.
Can you talk a little bit more about Chad specifically, kind of the green light that he has? I know that, I mean, Muss even talked about it kind of like right after he signed. I think he said, this guy's going to take some shots where you're going to, kind of scratch your head sometimes, but, he can make them, and we have to kind of give him that freedom. How do you balance that with, hey, Chad, at this point in the game, like maybe we want to, look for something better.
Yeah, that's always a balance. Chad is really, really talented. He's, one of our guys that can get his own shot. He also makes extremely difficult shots a lot of times. I wish he got more points for level of difficulty, but he does shoot some shots like that. But again, coach, he's had guys like that in the past, and he's going to give guys freedom if he feels like the guys are competing and playing hard and wanting to win. And Chad wants to do all those things. So, it's and getting to know the offense, and coach getting to know our guys and Chad. It's a balance for sure. We're figuring that out. It's only been two games, and but as I said, coach is he. I'm not sure I could do what coach gives guys freedom on the offensive end. That's one of his strengths. The guys never look over at the bench going, "Should I have shot that shot?" Which is unique. But coach also has a great feel for who's competing, who's trying on defense, who's going to give us the best shot to win the game. And he's going to roll with those guys. So.
That makes a lot of sense. Coach, one more follow-up for me. Coming out of these scrimmages, one of the things I've heard in Muss's media availability that kind of struck me as interesting because I don't think I've heard it before, but you know, with your coaching experience, maybe you can take us behind the curtain if this is like a common practice. But coming out of the exhibitions, it sounded like you guys have had pretty detailed follow-ups with the opposing coaching staffs, kind of debriefing the game. That was really interesting to me. I know they mentioned, you know, they thought that like Jaden should see more time because, you know, him spacing the floor made their lives more difficult, and maybe Mus wasn't seeing that from his end, but he was hearing it from them. Can you talk a little bit about those exchanges with other staffs?
Yeah, I think a lot of times, unless you're close with somebody, you know, in the exhibition games, coach likes to get feedback from the other staffs, kind of almost like a self scout. You know, we can tell guys, you know, what we think, and but if you hear it from another staff, and if our staff hears, hey, maybe like you said, Jaden should be playing more, you know, and so coach likes to hear that. You know, he wants us to reach out and what did you think and what do you think of our team? What were our strengths? What do you think we need to improve on? He really does like that. And I'll give you an example. Last year we went to the desert and we did not play well. And Randy Bennett and I have known each other for 30 plus years. We coached together at San Diego. So on that Sunday, Mus said, call Randy and get his breakdown. So, and coach knows Randy really well. They both played it, you know, they both were from USD. Randy coached there and Mus played there, but they're friends. So, but he said, call Randy. And I talked to Randy for about an hour and I wrote down everything. And I felt like we made some adjustments with personnel. We made some adjustments what we were doing in practice. And, you know, coach is not afraid to, you know, get, he respects certain coaches and get their opinion on what we could do better, what we are doing better, who you think we should be playing, or who are you worried about, and so who are you not worried about, and so you know, coach is big on that. He especially during the exhibition games, these two games are you're really trying to figure out your team, and so if we can call the opposing coaches, Stan Johnson's a good friend of coach, so they talked and you know exchanged a bunch of notes. And this time of year, you're trying to figure out your team, and we're not going to play those guys again. So, you know, coach really wants to get their opinions on how we can get better.
Yeah, no, that makes really good sense. And I want to say coming out of that tournament, because obviously it went, you know, pretty poorly for you guys, but was that when you had Oregon come into Galen right after and you played like really well in the games immediately following that?
Yeah, we played well following that. After the trip out to the desert, yeah, we did have Oregon come here, and you know, that's a game that you look back at last year that we felt like it kind of slipped away from us, like we should have won that game, and that would have been a great way to start the conference season. Then we had to go up to Washington and we beat them really good. We jumped on them early. You know, it wasn't close. And then we came home and we had the three non-cons, Montana State, CSUN, and Southern. So yeah, we played much better after that tournament out in the desert, and Wesley Yates did, you know, emerge and some other things. Coach made some adjustments and we played really well.
So, Coach, now we're kind of turning toward the beginning of the season, are you guys now in kind of like, okay, Cal Poly's first game, we're doing prep, you know, kind of just doing the prep for Cal Poly? Are you guys still kind of practicing for the entire slate of games upcoming? How does practices kind of change now from, or if they change at all?
Well, after the exhibition game, there's a, you know, there's cleanup, and so coach, the first couple days of practice, obviously we took Sunday off, but Monday, Tuesday were all about us. You know, what we need to improve on, what we could do better offensively, defensively, execution. And then we started introducing Cal Poly because they play such a different style than we're going to see maybe the rest of the year. They were number one in the country last year in pace of play. They shoot a lot of threes. They run five out, so they don't, you're not even going to, nobody's standing in the paint. But we've started to introduce them, and we're going to do some more today. Michael Musselman does our personnel scout. So he's already introduced a lot of some of the guys. Today we're going to go through shell defense, the way they run their offense, and how we want to guard them. And that's what I do as far as breaking down the opponent and what they run and what they run BOB and how we're going to guard them and what we need to take away. And so, coach already knows. We've kind of started on them already, just to get our guys' mindset, because they do play unusual. But the first 2 days after the GCU game, coach came in. He's like, "Look, this for the next 2 days, this is all about us. How do we improve? How do we get better from the GCU game?" And we did that. Now we're kind of moving on to Cal Poly.
And how I know this is probably a question, if people ask all the time, but maybe just to get your comments on it, just the amount of turnover, not only on the USC team, but on every opponent you're going to be playing, especially as you start out a season, you're going to be, these teams have entirely new rosters. I mean, it's got to be complicated trying to scout for some of these teams that you're playing, and you're like, gosh, how is this guy going to fit in with this system?
Yeah, it definitely is early in the year. We do a really good job, our staff and our GAs and everything, of accumulating scouting reports, information. We call their opponents that they've played, but you're right that the roster changes so much. So what we do is we have their stats printed up with their new roster. So if somebody went to a junior college, we have their junior college stats right on the stat sheet. If they played at, let's say Moose played at Dayton. So what did he do there? Here's his breakdown of his stats. So we do a good job of collecting, but it's not the same as having 6 or 8 games of film and stats to break down. So it is different, but we have everything they've done in college. We know what they did in high school. But until they play 6 or 8 games, it's hard to tell who's really going to be their leading scorers, who's going to be their go-to guys. But it is a little bit different early in the year.
Yeah, and just looking very quickly at the Cal Poly roster, it seems like they did a pretty good job at roster retention, but I guess their issue was they four of their top five guys last year were their seniors, and they're not back. So, I mean, you'll have a little bit of film with these guys playing for Cal Poly last season, but not necessarily a lot of minutes. And then they do have some of these new guys like Moose coming on or Musa coming over from Dayton. So, yeah, that's got to always be interesting, just trying to prepare
Yeah.
for a situation like that.
Yeah, early in the year it's not the best for scouting opponents, but yeah, they did lose 4 of their top 5 and they were all really good 3-point shooters and they rely on the three a lot. So those four guys that they lost were some of the best 3-point shooters, and so but they're going to rely on that. It doesn't matter what they're, they recruit to that system. So it's more of a generic scout because they play five guys out on the floor and all five guys can do the same thing. They can all shoot the three, they can all cut. They do a great job of spacing the floor. And but yeah, they did lose a lot of their scoring from last year.
I guess from what Coach Musselman had said in another podcast, the look now is for whether or not Roddy Rice gets cleared by the end of this week for contact. Is that kind of the current timeline on that?
Yeah, we're hoping that at the end of this week, he's ramped it up in practice. Our training staff wanted him to go 25%, then 50, then 75% of like contact or any type of defensive drills. And then we're hoping that the couple practices leading up to the game that he's fully cleared. That's what we're hoping. We don't know that for sure right now, but that's where it is.
All right. Jason, do you have anything else before we get out of here?
No, I'm good. Thanks, Coach.
Hey,
Coach,
thank you. thank you so much.
Thank you guys. That was great. Anytime, let us know.
Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Have a great day.
You too.